My name is Venkat Ayyadevara, and I'm a Principal Program Manager Lead in the Outlook Ecosystem team. Today, I'm going to talk to you about using Microsoft Graph to reach on-premises and cloud users on Hybrid Exchange 2016 deployments. So we're going to cover a little bit about what Microsoft Graph is and what it means for it to support Hybrid Exchange. Things you keep in mind as you develop your apps and services to cater to cloud and on-premises users. Configuring Exchange 2016 for Graph, what are the steps needed on the on-premises side, and a wrap-up section. Microsoft Graph is our single endpoint for accessing data across multiple services, traversing the data, accessing insights, which we compute, or you can use the data to compute your own, and has a huge target market, which you can address. Commercial customers of Microsoft in the cloud, and educational customers, and our consumer users. And now, we're really excited that we have expanded Microsoft Graph's reach also to the on-premises users if they belong to a hybrid tenant. So what does it mean for Graph to support Hybrid Exchange? In hybrid deployments, an enterprise will keep some users online in Exchange Online and some users on-premises Exchange environment. And the distribution of users varies both in terms of how many of what percentage of the users live in one place or the other. And a single user may also get moved around based on the needs of the company. If you're writing an app, you want to offer a really simple experience. What Microsoft Graph allows you to do is for you to just ask the user for their email address and make a request to Graph. Graph will check if this user lives online or on-premises using the email address. At that point, once it's figured it out, the user signs in, does a normal OAuth flow, grants consent to your application, and the app gets a token. The nice thing is now when you make the call, Microsoft Graph will seamlessly proxy the request to Exchange Online for online users and Exchange On-Prem for on-premises users. And the permissions are very granular. They limit the scope of data available to the app, and it's only the data which the user consented to. Most importantly, with prior protocols, prior programming surfaces we've offered, there's a big challenge with discovering this API endpoint based on the location of the user and then remembering it on a per-user basis. Microsoft Graph's support for Hybrid Exchange takes that need away, takes that complexity away, so you can offer a much better user experience with much simpler code. A lot of rich data is available for the on-premises user. This is a subset of what's available already for the cloud. So you got mail, calendar, contacts, the user's profile, including their picture, mailbox settings, and you can extend the data using extended properties, and extensions is coming soon. So with this, let's go take a look at a demo application we built where it's calling Graph and is able to seamlessly go connect to an on-premises user's mailbox to fetch some of the data I just mentioned. For this demo, we're going to use a demo tenant we set up. What you're looking at is the admin console in Office 365 for this demo tenant. Now, this is a hybrid customer, so they have something in the cloud and they have something on-premises. And take a look at Lincoln Haney. This is the user we will use for the demo. This person is synced with Active Directory, but doesn't have an Exchange mailbox. It says here, doesn't have Exchange mailbox in the cloud, which tells you this user is on-premises, and we can confirm that. So I'm going to take you to Lincoln's mailbox. You can see this mailbox, and turns out they have automatic replies on. We'll use that in a moment. And you can see they get emails from Tim. Tim and Lincoln are trying to get to the recording. And what you will see is pay attention to this URL. mail.thbeta.exchcloud. This is, you see this URL and not outlook.office.com or outlook.office365.com. because this user is on premises, and so we're OWA, the Outlook web app, is hosted out of the on-premises server. Now, we wrote a very simple app where I already logged in to save time, and this Microsoft Graph client was just developed by us. It's a test app to call Graph for cloud users. But the beauty of this is that same client with no changes in code is actually able to access on-premises users. At the top, you see where to get messages, events, contacts, and mailbox settings. Here you see that this part is the OAuth token it's using. So you can see it's using OAuth. It got an OK 200 response back from the server, which tells you that the request it sent for messages was successful. Pay special attention to the namespace, graph.microsoft.com/v1.0, which tells you that it's fetching the information through Graph, and some headers which you can use if you ever run into issues. Now, and going below, you can see the messages for Lincoln. One from Tim saying, I'm at the studio, where are you? Accepts, and other messages. And just like messages, you can also get events. So now I'm going to go ask the app to fetch events, and you can see there's a morale event, there's a weekly meeting between Tim and Lincoln. You can get the user's Outlook contacts. This works identical, all of these, as if you're accessing a cloud user. So the app developer doesn't have to worry about where the user is. And finally, mailbox settings. Remember, Lincoln had the out-of-office settings on, and here you can see their out-of-office. You can also get their time, and you can get the locale. So that gives you a very, very quick view of how easy it is to take an app you may have only written for the cloud and make it work for on-premises, or from the get-go, it'll work for both, but you don't have to worry about which user is located where. And so now let's get back to the deck. Now that you've seen an app calling Microsoft Graph to reach an on-premises user, let's talk about what you have to keep in mind while building such apps so that you offer a great experience for both the on-premises and the cloud users. One of the most important things you should remember is not everybody in that enterprise, which is a hybrid customer, has the exact same set of capabilities. So, especially users in the cloud often have cloud-only or cloud-first capabilities, and some users on-premises may have a subset of those capabilities. And your app must be able to gracefully degrade when one of these capabilities is valid for one user, but you have to disable it for another user. Now, why is there such a difference? Because of three reasons. One, some of the capabilities we offer are only cloud because of some compute needed, or they are offered in the cloud for an extended period of time before we make them available on premises. Two, we allow non-breaking changes, such as new properties, which are optional, or new entities, new actions. And as a result, some of these APIs may be available for one user who's in the cloud, but not for another user who's on premises. And finally, remember, we ship multiple times for our cloud customers and ship a quarterly release. It's called a cumulative update for on-premises customers. And they have to do some validations before they actually apply these updates. So at any point of time, there is going to be a difference in the feature set available for different users in the enterprise, depending on where they are at that moment of time. Are they in the cloud or on-premises? The other special considerations to keep in mind, some of them during the preview, because right now we are offering support in preview, and even beyond, are number one, use the latest production version of Graph. So right now it's v1.0. We do not offer beta for on-premises customers. So you should, if you're looking to target both on-premises and cloud customers, you must use a production version. Also, the preview has some limitations. It's a very popular shortcut to refer to the signed in user, and that's called /me. That is not yet available. So you must use the path /users/the user's identity to be able to address the user's mailbox. We're still working to enable notifications for on-premises. And every time your request ends up going on-premises, right now, for convenience, we send you this text appended at the end of each error, so you know that this may be linked to the preview we are running. Finally, do not use Microsoft Graph for on-premises users in production while we are in the preview stage. We're working hard to get to full production, but in the meantime, please use it mainly to evaluate and give us feedback. Configuring Exchange. To do all of this, there are some configuration steps needed on the on-premises Exchange. You as an app developer would not be doing these changes. You would be working with your customers to make sure that their admin takes these steps. Number one, install the latest cumulative update, which is 2016 Cumulative Update 3. There are some network changes to make sure that the API endpoint and the AutoDiscover endpoint are accessible to Microsoft Graph. And finally, the admin would run a tool which they're quite familiar with called Hybrid Config Wizard to set up the trust between the on-premises server and Azure Active Directory for OAuth to work. So with this, let's go take a quick look at a demo where I'm going to show you an Exchange server which has been configured correctly, and I'm going to show you a couple of things there on how you can verify that it is actually set up correctly. Okay, what you're looking at is really the guts of an on-premises server. So I'm logged in as Tim as the admin onto the on-premises Exchange server where Lincoln's mailbox is hosted, and Lincoln is the user, if you remember, who we used with the demo app before. So there's a couple of key things I'm going to show once the setup is completed. Number one, Microsoft Graph is going to go to Azure Active Directory, a service called Evo SDS, to get OAuth tokens for this on-premises mailbox, which means it has to be able to issue tokens for namespaces for the on-premises Exchange REST endpoint and AutoDiscover. And that has to be registered by the Exchange admin. So in this case, that registration has been completed. So I'm going to query Azure Active Directory for the set of service principles. And you can see here, the admin has previously registered mail.thbeta.exchangecloud.com. That's the email endpoint. And there is also an AutoDiscover endpoint. So you can see this is mail, and then this is autodiscover.thbeta.mail.com on microsoft.com to register the autodiscover endpoint. This allows AAD to issue OAuth tokens for the on-premises namespace. On the flip side, on the on-premises server, a configuration step has to be done. All of these get run as part of the hybrid config wizard so that when those tokens are presented by Graph to the on-premises server, that the on-premises server honors them. And there's a registration done for auth server, which was already completed. And as a result, you can see Evo SDS as an auth token issuer registered. And that this is the reason why when Graph presents a token from AAD, from the Evo SDS service, for the on-premises namespace, the request is successful. It goes through and is processed, and a response is returned. Now that you've seen Exchange server correctly set up, and that was the second demo and the last one, let's talk about what's next on our roadmap. So we want to exit preview so that you can use this capability for your production apps. There's a hybrid configuration wizard update which we are planning to publish so that the steps needed for the admin are super easy. A rich per user version and capability model so you can figure out proactively what capabilities are available for a user based on their location, whether they're on-premises or in the cloud, some API improvements, and most important, we want to hear from you, we want to get your feedback, your suggestions, and we want to incorporate them before we actually exit preview and go, you know, fully go to production. So wrapping up, key takeaways, please try this out. Microsoft Graph with hybrid Exchange users, both on-premises and cloud, it's simple, it's secure, and it's way easier than trying to use some of the legacy APIs we had, where you have to deal with the discovery and you have to always remember which API endpoint to target. There's a couple of resources you'll find really helpful. One is on a documentation page, which gives you an overview and is a great jump-off point to a lot of other resources. And two is a deep dive we did in September, which is a 1-hour-15 version of this really brief video you're just seeing and gives you a lot more details and a lot more steps. And finally, please, please give us feedback on the preview. You can give tactical day-to-day questions on Stack Overflow. You can point out any issues with the documentation and a GitHub link I have out there. And for any feedback where you want new features or the ones we have are not working that well for you, or if they're working great for you, positive or negative, please let us know and use our voice. Thank you so much for watching this video, and happy coding.